Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. You are tuned into Tech Vibe Radio this very Friday night, and we are taking you to a really great place. We're at Expedience Data Center in Nova Place. We love taking the show on the road, Audrey.
Yeah, and I love being here in Nova Place. The amount of transformation
that
occurred. When I first moved to Pittsburgh, right. We had our Alcoa Tech here, and it's nothing like that now. It was really an old vacant mall that had none of the amenities that each and every day is occurring right here. I mean, I can't even keep up. The last time I was here, I was very floored about some of the things, just even food. That's coming here. So right now we have Brad Ott of Farrow's Properties.
Yes.
Who's part of the team here.
Thank Making this transformation happen. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
I can tell you right now, if I were the developer of this place, I would have been like, let's just implode it and build on top. But you're taking the hard route on this thing and really just going through a fine-tooth comb and just making this place pop and become a great place to have a business and live and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a great effort. And actually, I think a few people did tell us to implode it instead of
did they? That's pretty funny. That's sort of funny.
Yeah, and actually on the north side here, our first investment were actually the residential properties on site.
I know, I always forget that.
Yeah, so we bought that almost a year before the commercial property.
Right.
And that was...
So you got a good sense of the area. You also got a good sense of what the gaps were in the area.
We did. And when we made that initial investment, a lot of people told us not to do it.
Right.
They're like, what are you thinking? Like, no, we have vision, long-term vision.
Yeah, and that's what it was. A vision of, you know, people, investors from outside of Pittsburgh coming in, seeing what was here and recognizing the potential between the residential properties and the commercial properties, and, you know, the backbone and the proximity and the access and everything made it a prime spot to...
Yeah, but you saw that. Not a lot of people saw that.
Sometimes it takes people outside of Pittsburgh to do that.
That's a good point. I like it. Yeah, that's exactly right. Very much
yeah,
so.
Sometimes it does. It's perspective.
Pittsburgh's a great city. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's a show me city.
Definitely.
And until you do that, people won't necessarily believe.
That's sort of an interesting perspective. So you've been showing them. So what have you been showing them? So talk about what's happened even just over the past year.
Yeah, so over the past year, you know, we bought the property, really had a vision of recreating it into the ecosystem and developing it for companies, startup companies, individuals who work, contract work, et cetera, all the way up to large established companies. We have some of the largest in Pittsburgh as tenants here as well, and everything in between. And to do that, we knew we had to add, we needed to update the space, you know, improve its bones because they've been degrading over a number of years.
And every time I come here, there's something new and improved.
And that's what we've been trying to do. You know, we improved all the common areas, inside, outside.
Like you want to hang out there.
That was our goal.
It used to be you want to run for the hills. And now you're like, I'm going to hang out and have a cup of coffee and meet people and stuff.
That's what we want. We wanted to get people back into the space. And one problem with the space was it's large. So we had to...
I was going to say, how many square feet, like, all together is this whole thing?
So,
millions, right?
So just real quick on the overall development here, right? Just sheer numbers. So the redevelopment back in the 60s consisted of 30 acres of property.
30 acres.
So in that redevelopment was four apartment buildings, so 810 apartment units are on site. We have 1.3 million square feet of space.
1.3 million.
And then we have 3,000 car parking garage, which is the second largest in southwestern PA.
Okay, it is the biggest parking garage ever. Okay.
Yeah,
it's, and I'm looking looking forward to wayfinding? I know you have a strategy.
We keep adding and picking away at that. We've been painting, adding wayfinding. And
right.
It's a beast.
It is. But you are tackling this beast.
You
can have
like a little light rail down there.
We could.
A little tram going through there would be awesome.
I think it'd be awesome.
Actually, they could test the Hyperloop down there if they wanted to.
I think it would just be great to have like a little tram and run through. But it is pretty exciting. So talk a little bit about food, for example.
Yeah, so food, you know, we have one established restaurant. We established a food truck network where last year we did it once a week and popular demand. Now we do it 3 days a week.
I know, I see that.
And officially the Federal Galley, which is a new offshoot of Smallman Galley, will be opening up here early December. For business, so that's something we're
so much happening since you guys made this investment here. It's so exciting to see it. And one of the cool anchor parts has been the Alloy 26.
Yeah, so Alloy 26 was one of the original visions that we had for the property, and that was
That was early on.
Yeah, it was, and that was probably the first project we finished. So Alloy 26, co-working space, and we saw that as an activator for the property.
I would call it a gateway drug. I'd be like, you come in here and rent a desk for a year, like, wait a second, now I got five people working for me, I need some space around here.
Exactly. And that's part of the hope, you know.
Exactly.
Through co-working, through the number of events that we had host in Alloy 26 and everything, it's getting people back in the space and reintroducing it, you know. And with any luck, those co-working companies will grow and need additional space.
Yeah.
And you know what? We have additional space. And, you know, we have an outside perspective on real estate in general where we don't have to have traditional 7-year, 10-year leases.
Right. You can be more flexible.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you rethinking that because as much as I love all of our developers and our and people who support, you know, sort of the brick and mortar. It's been tough for Pittsburgh to really have an understanding of the new world. And I've been working on these conversations for a decade. It's just like it's a hard shift. No pun intended. It's just really
It is a hard shift. And believe me, banks do require that for a certain amount of the financing, right? But this space is so large that we have some flexibility to play
there's
around.
There's places around the world where there's a lot more clever kinds of arrangements.
Yeah,
because, I mean, part of it is just a numbers game. I mean, once we get to that point, we'll probably have a shift in the marketplace. Yeah. But we need, and we needed, that kind of shift. So my applause.
Thank you. That's part of the ecosystem.
For sure. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on Expedient expanding their data center here at Nova Place. I mean, obviously, they've been an anchor tenant here for many, many years, and they're sticking with you guys here and helping you just grow this thing out.
Yeah, Expedient's been a great partnership between their existing data center, their growth, you know, doubling the size of their data center. They have office space in one of our office towers. They've been a great partner, a great tenant of ours. And they've acknowledged the improvements that we're trying to make. We support them and what they're trying to accomplish in Pittsburgh. And
yeah, they've
overall.
Been very positive.
Yeah, so
I mean, for a long time they were here against all odds.
Right.
So thank you so much, Brad, for being with us. Is there a website that you would point people to?
The main company is fairrosproperties.com. More information about Nova Place, novaplace.com, and then also Alloy26.com.
Definitely. That's check great. It all
thank
out.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your work.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Making a huge difference here. We are so pumped to be here to really show this, and I really encourage our listeners to check this out because this is one of the key things that's making Pittsburgh really pop these days, and it has me excited for 2018. All the great positive things happening here, without a doubt. We love taking our show on the road, the Tech Vibe neighborhood tour at Expedient's data center here in Nova Place. Couldn't be happier. And like you said, Audrey,
it smells like a new building to me.
I love it, man. It is so much fun being down here. I love
it. Food.
That's what it's all about. Now, learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Wow. It's Friday night, and I have so much fun when we take Tech Vibe Radio on the road back at Expedient, Audrey.
I know, and it's really great what's happening here.
I get so pumped up.
Well, they're really growing, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Right at the heart of all, where all fiber intersects in Pittsburgh.
We're literally at the nexus of like the IT world, of like the East Coast of the country, here at Nova Place, where Expedient built its expanded its data center. They've had a data center here forever.
Really
They've expanded it. And we walked in here. It's like, you want to talk about high security, Audrey.
Mm-hmm. And the newness, the fresh of new.
I know.
The fresh scent
of a data center.
Right. And it takes me back to my days.
So absolutely. Me, like, I was going to say, you're getting a little nostalgic here.
I
see that.
It's like, this is where I started. So I get it.
A data center needs customers, right? And Expedient's got some really cool customers. I mean, I'm always amazed at some of the different companies that Expedient works with. And people you're not even thinking about, companies you're not even thinking about. We have J&J. I'm using your first initials here. Like, we have two people with J's in their names here from Ainsworth Pet Nutrition. Who we got in front of us tonight?
Yeah, hi, I'm Jamie Hornstein, Director of Information Services at Ainsworth Pet Nutrition.
Jim Bliss, I am the Senior Infrastructure Manager at Ainsworth Pet Nutrition.
And so how much fun do you have there?
I think we have a lot of fun. You know, tech's been pretty exciting. We've been on growing. We get to implement a lot of new stuff. It's been a really fun 13 years.
Can you give us some examples in terms of how tech has helped really drive some of the business strategy? And a little bit about Ainsworth Pet Nutrition.
Yeah, a little bit about Ainsworth. You know, we're over 80-year-old family-owned company. We used to be Dad's Pet Care.
See, that was so interesting. I realized that Dad's, I didn't see that in the marketplace, and because you're Ainsworth. It's a whole new name.
Yeah, we've transformed ourselves over the last 10 years from a value pet food company to super premium. And with the Rachel Ray Nutrish brand, we brought pet store quality supermarket easy.
So you can get the best stuff for your pets right at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And so all kinds of pet food?
Yeah, all kinds.
I mean,
cat food,
dogs
and cats.
Yeah. Any food for my betta fish?
Not yet.
You could break it. It's a whole new high-end market for betta fish.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know about that one.
So what are some of the exciting challenges and opportunities that you've had?
I think the growth has been the biggest challenge and opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it. They kind of said, get ready. We've been able to stay plugged into the business strategy. So we saw, you know, us adding an office in Pittsburgh, you know, other factories and warehouses that we're adding. So staying in front of that, you know, with the growth going so fast, the challenge is just getting looped in. Sometimes
I believe
we don't know exactly all the things that are coming. So
the pet market is one of the fastest growing markets in the U.S.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I think it probably parallels the consumer food quite a bit, where people are trying to eat a little natural, more healthy.
We care about our pets.
You know, they logically want their that for their pets. And
I'm one of those goofballs.
Yeah, no, it's not a goofball. I think we timed the market right, you know, and with the Nutrish pet food and brought that to the mainstream retailers. So.
And so are you hiring now? You doing anything hiring?
Hiring? We have a few open positions for next year. You know, our budget cycle, we probably don't get quite approval on that. So it's a little bit cloudy right now, but we've grown the team. We usually grow pretty conservatively, like one or two positions a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but with the advancement of technology, it can do more.
Yeah.
Less people.
Right. I mean, that's where we brought Expedient in. Infrastructure
terrific.
As a service. We don't need to house a big data center. I mean, we still have one.
Do you?
But it's a good complement, the infrastructure as a service. And I think that allows us to scale in the future quite a bit.
Well, it probably allows you to be less distracted.
Right.
And get closer to what the business problems are.
Yeah, I mean, Jim and I were talking on the way down, you know, from an information strategy point of view. This type of stuff allows us to focus on what makes Ainsworth, you know, what differentiates us in the marketplace, understand what those things are to the business, make sure we spend the IT money there proportionally.
So when you have Expedient behind you, as you said, providing infrastructure as a service, you're not thinking about it. You're flipping on the light switch when you come to work and your systems are up and running. So you can focus on the business at hand, not a server's down, this isn't working.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about your experience with Expedient like that. I mean, I come to a data center like this, I'm like, man, this is some high horsepower stuff going on down here.
Jim can probably walk through the process a little bit.
We're still early on with the adoption of DR and business continuity services with Expedia.
Okay.
You know, first we needed to kind of tie all of our locations and warehouses and offices to the Expedia data center through an MPLS network. We're using software Zerto that's being licensed to us by from Expedia, and it basically allows us to replicate our data centers back to Expedia. And if something were to happen at our main location in Meadville or our location out in Frontenac, Kansas, we could fail back to the data center here without dropping any of our critical business services.
That sounds like something that keeps you, you know, not getting, it keeps you from not losing sleep at night. I would feel as if, like, okay, I know everything's under control as far as that is. You're backed up, you're redundant, and there's nothing to worry about in that regards.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, that's one of the things that, you know, the risk management keeps us up, things that can go wrong, and it's always hard to convey that to the business.
And then Expedia can grow with you, as you say, as you need to bring on new services. And you mentioned before we went on air, talking a little bit about the fact that you just don't chase technology down for technology's sake. You chase it down to solve a business problem. So when you see a problem, you know that Expedia's probably there to help you along the way with that.
Yeah, definitely. The infrastructure as a service just kind of scales. I mean, I think we have now the opportunity to do some different things on our IT roadmap that we would have been a lot more challenging to accomplish.
Very cool.
You know, where we could leverage, we could spin up more cloud services in the infrastructure, whereas we're really starting out with a business continuity piece, but maybe we move our ERP or maybe we move our warehouse management system to Expedia.
It's interesting in terms of freeing yourselves in terms of what your priorities are.
We spent a lot of time just kind of saying, well, we could do this now, we could do this.
Right. You can start dreaming up different scenarios at this point.
You can't believe how much you've been preoccupied with it for so long.
No, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It frees you guys up.
It frees up finances and internal resources because we no longer have to be in the business of data centers.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and then, you know, you've got your internal customers that you've got to manage and all that.
For sure. Yeah. So we got a couple of minutes left. What are you thinking about for 2018? I can't believe it's almost here.
Wow. 2018, for me, you know, heading up all of IS, it's a big focus on business information, making sure the business has the information to make the choices.
Make the right decisions at the right time. Yeah, definitely.
So I've been on a little bit of a roadshow internally, just making sure I understand what the gaps are.
Gotcha.
And I think I've been annoying them a little bit.
Annoying
them. I know they're going to appreciate it. You know, I haven't been as able to spend that much time with them, but, you know, just with the changes in our infrastructure and our internal team has given me a lot more time to focus on the strategy. So it's been fun. So
that's great. And to think about how long people were worried about all this, right?
Yeah.
It took a long time. So anything great personally for the new year?
Personally? I don't know. I hadn't even thought that far.
You need to think of 2018 around the corner.
Yeah. You caught me a little off.
And how about any great tech gifts on your holiday wish list this year?
You know, I do. It's a little dated, but I still want the Google Home. I have an Echo, and I kind of trust OK Google more than I do Alexa.
Interesting. I like it.
Wow.
Very cool. Very cool.
Okay.
If people want to learn more about the company at Ainsworth Pet Nutrition, where can they go and check you guys out?
Yeah, ainsworthpets.com.
Just that simple.
Yeah.
We're glad you're up there in Meadville doing what you're doing and hanging out with us here at Expedient tonight.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. More coming at you from Expedient Data Center here at Nova Place. Tech Vibe Radio on the road, the TNT. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org, then go to Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back. You are dialed into the Tech Vibe neighborhood tour, Audrey, TNT at Expedient.
Pretty great to be here.
I love it, man. Yeah. It is so cool hanging out in their new expanded data center here at Nova Place. If you go to expedient.com, you can learn about all their services and how this is like the backbone of all the stuff they do, running off the servers down here. You can geek out here if you want to, Audrey. I'm just saying.
I can stay here for a long time.
I love it.
I really want to jump into our next guest.
Definitely.
So we have Danielle Verba, who is here from Helios.
Yep, Helios Solutions Group.
Good. And so what are you up to these days?
So we are a small organization, started in 2015, And purpose of Helios Solutions Group is really just to help other organizations with some of the development needs that they have around software engineering, not necessarily the software engineering itself, but basically everything else around software engineering projects. So our real core competency is efficiency. So we focus on everything else, quality assurance, project management, product management, agile and Scrum methodologies, and those sorts of things.
All the stuff that helps you be successful.
Who are your potential customers? Talk about when they might be ripe to be your customer. What's the profile of that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of them, to be honest. Smaller organizations that are looking to spin up new software engineering projects and are looking to ramp up teams for those projects. We help build out their needs, again, not necessarily specifically a development standpoint, but quality assurance professionals and people to really understand what the business use cases are behind that, what sorts of requirements to focus on first, that sort of stuff.
So, for example, let's say I did some sort of like Salesforce implementation, and I'm still not getting the use out of it.
Yeah, so we
is that a good example?
Exactly. Yeah, our organization could come in, do some analysis, really talk to the stakeholders around that, understand what's going wrong with the implementation, do kind of a project rescue analysis, and really
rescue analysis. Yeah. That should be on your website. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. It is on the website. Yes. So start understanding basically how to turn that project around and really make sure that it's lined up to be successful.
And so your engagement is typically how long?
It depends. Some shorter engagements, it depends on what they're looking for. So we've done shorter term engagements where organizations are really just trying to understand how to get their feet wet with software engineering projects and what source of resources they do need to hire internally, or maybe they might be doing something to do with an internal agile training process they're trying to go through. So it might be something along 3 months just to get them started, or it could be upwards of 2 to 2.5 years to do the entire project duration if it's a really large software development project.
So we're speaking with Danielle Verba from Helios, and your website is what? So the people want to listen to them.
Website is go-helios.com.
Okay.
So relatively straightforward.
Then what is your background?
My background is in software development, but same thing, all of those sort of ancillary roles around software development. I started off in game development and game design.
In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
Have you been in Pittsburgh your entire life?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. Moved down here about 11 years ago from Connecticut.
What brought you here?
My boyfriend and now husband.
Excellent.
Yeah, who is a software engineer.
Very cool.
So started working on some of the projects that he was working on, and really through game development started working on digital game development, and then ended up having to do the entire platform, you know, manage the entire platform development of the ways in which we as a curriculum provider actually, you know, provided all of those games to the students. So it was a really kind of, it was a really neat way to get into it.
Yeah,
it was very much, trial by fire sort of stuff, trying to get up to speed with all that stuff.
Well, so one of the things that you have in here in terms of the services that you provide is dev team leadership.
Yep.
So talk about that a little bit.
In my experience, it is often the case that developers don't typically want to move up the ladder. Some do, but a lot of them don't.
Right.
They just want to develop.
Right.
And they want to
find that thing, they want to drill on it.
Exactly.
Right.
They want to focus on what they love and what they feel is their most productive strengths and those sorts of things. And you oftentimes run into a scenario where you don't really have a person on a development team that wants to be a team lead. And so that's something that we can do.
Is that phenomenal?
Well.
So that's like a little
For
bit
sure.
of a tra- really.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Huh.
So I've come across that in almost every experience that I've had. And it's just one of those things where we can kind of step in and be the voice for the developers and let them be developers and make sure to take all of those other responsibilities off of their shoulders. So the communication with stakeholders, the
managing.
Why did you let this release out without testing?
So
well, they're
you
not
have to be a, you have to be a translator then at that point
yeah,
very
exactly.
often.
I mean, that's kind of, it's interesting in that all of those roles really have that synergy. If you are a QA person, then you are, again, taking that away from the developers. The developers can focus focus on producing. They don't have to focus on necessarily going to the very end of testing and all of those sorts of things. They don't mm-hmm. have to focus on making sure that they are the ones fully understanding the requirements. Really, that stuff is not their core competency. And that's where we step in and kind of take those sorts of things over. Exactly. That's exactly the point. Yes.
You know, a lot. Like, why implementations die.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of that revolves around trying to ask developers to wear all of these hats and play all of these roles. And
as you said, sometimes they want just that one hat.
Right.
Well,
right.
Or they probably haven't had the opportunity to develop those skills either.
Good point.
Right? Because they've
Absolutely.
Been so heads down, and then all of a sudden they've got to wrestle with this, right. the other pieces of it, which is really what makes the technology stick.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have a lot of fun?
I do. It's fun.
There's always a new challenge for you, I have
exactly.
to assume, right?
Exactly.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at University of Connecticut. My background's in psychology, so...
Ooh, that's interesting.
I often tell people that was the worst decision and the best decision that I could have made.
That makes sense. That makes total sense.
Particularly in terms of gamification and all the understandings of pattern recognition of leadership.
So I do not use any sort of formal background that I gained in those psychology classes, but
yes,
all of the things that you picked up along the way, and all of just the inherent ways that you think about things from that background is what I use.
Interesting. So Danielle, so do you have like a network of folks that you kind of bring into projects? Do you have,
absolutely.
A core group of people, and then mm-hmm. people on the fringes? Like, how does that work?
That's exactly how that works.
Okay.
So I have a really core group of people that I pull into almost every project that I work on, especially when you're talking about things like UI UX design and actual design. I'm not a designer. But
you know the people.
Exactly. Yeah. But I have a great, very talented group of individuals that I rely on heavily, like I said, for almost every single project.
That's
and
great.
The same can be said for development resources and some of the other roles that I am inherently, you know, very familiar with. I tend to handle by myself. So
we're speaking with Danielle Verba and at go-helios.com.
Yep.
For information about the company and the kinds of problems that they're trying to solve. So quickly, tell everyone, what's a Scrum Master?
So Scrum Master, I mean, it's kind of summarized by the things that we've already been talking about. I mean, a Scrum Master's core role is to keep everything off of the shoulders of the software engineers except for development tasks.
Exactly.
Right?
So they're just developing, and they're handing the tasks above that to make it the project move forward.
Yeah, and you are kind of the go-to person if they have a complaint, if they need something to be figured out prior to them diving into that development task.
So you could be like, you're like a Scrum Master for hire.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring you in when they need that.
I have done that many times.
Absolutely. It could be a cool bumper sticker on your car.
Yeah.
So as far as, what's it been like growing the company in Pittsburgh? Is it all word of mouth type stuff? Like, I mean, how do you get new projects and stuff like that?
Primarily, until probably 3 years ago when I started the company, I was always on the flip side of things.
Yeah.
I worked very closely with recruiters in the Pittsburgh area to source all of the teams that I was growing into. Internally for all of the companies that I worked for, and as a result, I, like I said, developed very close relationships with a lot of the recruiters, and so they will reach out and stuff like that, and I'll work with them for all of their needs, et cetera.
At what point did you have to say, I'm doing this on my own? Like, I'm creating a company to make this happen. I'm making this official.
Yeah.
I'm getting some office chairs.
It was after the first couple of tech fests that I went to, actually, where I found that there was such a need. I mean, everybody that I talked to at those tech fests had the same sort of struggles. They were a small organization trying to start up their first software development project, and they were really struggling to find resources to help manage the project and help communicate budget needs and all of those sorts of things. And I feel like those groups typically do a great job of trying to find the development resources, the actual software engineering resources, mm-hmm. but then they struggle with everything else.
Yeah.
Or they struggle with their agile implementations. They know that they, quote-unquote, should be doing it, which is not always the case, but they think they should be doing it, but they don't know how to get started, or they don't know how to train their internal staff on those sorts of things.
Interesting. So we have our question of the day.
Okay.
Everyone at our TNT, our Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour at Expedia 2018, I can't believe it's almost here.
Yeah.
What's the big tech thing that you're paying attention to? 2018?
Blockchain technology.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is probably not the first time that's been brought up, but...
No, I've been hearing that. It's cementing in my mind. We need to do some blockchain stuff here on the show in the future because there's so much happening, and happening here in Pittsburgh around the development of blockchain.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yep. I recently joined the blockchain meetup group, and I'm really looking forward to going to the first one of those.
It's
actually tonight.
I really want to. It's tonight, right?
It's actually tonight. Can't make it to the one tonight. I have prior commitments for third Tuesdays of the month, so. But I will be attending those. Those are super exciting, and I think it's there's a lot of opportunity in that space. I think there's a lot of questions in that space of what exactly to do with it, but I think there are also a lot of opportunities, and I'm really excited to...
Dig it. Very cool.
Figure out what goes on there.
I love it. Danielle Verba from Helios. Go-helios.com. Check her out and her company. Fantastic stuff. Thanks for stopping by tonight.
Thank you very much.
I love it, Audrey. It's why we do the show. We get to talk to the coolest people who are thinking about blockchain. That's all I'm saying right now. Here at Expedient's expanded data center at Nova Place. I love it, man. Too much fun. Keep your dial tuned right here. We have a lot more Tech Vibe coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio tonight, coming from Expedient Data Center here at Nova Place. We love taking the show on the road. It's what we do.
We take
the show to where the action is.
In the data center, sniffing the newness of this data center. So we're pretty excited about that.
It is new in here. Like, I don't want to mark the walls up or anything like that.
No.
Just saying.
Use the right marker.
Take my hand off the table. Absolutely. Get your hands off the table. This is all new stuff here.
So who are we here with today?
Got some great guests. Start with you.
I'm Alan Waldron. I am lead UX developer at Build in Motion.
Yes, no stranger to the show.
Nope, second time.
Absolutely, man.
Return visitor.
And you actually reached out to me, and you're like, we got a great story.
We do. I did, yes.
And who'd you bring with you today?
This is Jimmy Janis. He is the CEO and founder of The Laundry Chute.
The Laundry Chute.
I am a newbie to the show.
The newbie, yeah, exactly right.
I know, The Laundry Chute. So tell us more. Tell us about The Laundry Chute, the relationship, the company.
Sure. Well, this started for me in college. I went to a small school in South Florida called Palm Beach Atlantic University.
Mm-hmm. I know where that is.
And I didn't like laundry, and I had no option. But
I didn't like laundry.
I didn't like laundry, so I founded a company that does laundry.
Do you like clean clothes?
I do. I like to look clean.
Okay.
I cannot smell.
But you didn't
like
I cannot
laundry.
Smell.
So you weren't raised like junior on laundry.
I mean, I knew how to do it, kind of ish.
But
I wouldn't want to do nice. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do nice stuff. So the truth is, when we started, I had no idea how to do laundry really.
But you knew this was a problem that needed to be solved.
So the problem was, you're in school, you like to look nice, and you don't want to go to the laundromat.
Well, it was also a time thing.
You're busy.
I played golf. I was captain of the men's golf team.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling really sad.
So between that and trying to actually get decent grades and being in South Florida.
Who has time for laundry?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So we did a little beta pilot with my school in South Florida. And my co-founder was actually a Pittsburgh guy. Rob Young is his name, and he owned a laundromat in South Florida. And he came to me and said, hey, I got this place that we can do laundry, and can you get some college buddies to sign up? And I was like, oh, well, start with me. You know, I got a pile high. You know, you can start with my laundry. And
he had the idea.
Yeah, he came to me, and, you know, I was always frustrated with laundry. I knew he owned the place, and his question sort of prompted the idea of business, and I slept on it, woke up, and I said, you know what, let's do something with this. Let's be partners.
But to make it a business, you need to automate it in a way where you had to bring in Build in Motion.
Take us through the steps of this, because I'm trying to imagine.
Well, before Build in Motion came in, we were just using pretty much handoff, you know, person-to-person transaction with minimal software.
So what does that mean? I have dirty laundry. I'm living in
You would drop it off in a bin receptacle, so kind of like a Goodwill donation.
And you don't know if it's ever coming back.
Yeah, and it just goes down this tube and see you later.
It might be donated.
Do I have to like mark my name on my clothing?
No, there was a QR code that you could use that would associate to your account, and actually that core foundation has stayed with us as far as the business logic of the process.
Right.
And when we first started, I didn't have another co-founder who I have now, Dave Conklin, who's our CTO and the one that makes me look kind of smart.
That's always good.
Dave interfaces with Build in Motion the most, and Alan, the guys.
So thank goodness it's
not thank
you,
goodness
right?
for Dave. Hear that, Dave? Wherever you are.
Wherever you are.
we knew we needed to do better. The logistics was a challenge of, you know, hiring people to sit at a desk and hand laundry out, and we knew knew that there had to be a better way. The drop-off process was hardly automated. You know, a drop-in is not nothing fancy.
Right.
So we made the decision both to move the business to Pittsburgh, where Dave was located.
Smart move. I like that.
It was a smart move, you know.
Plenty of dirty clothes here as well.
Yeah, and a very large university
called Pitt.
So we were working on getting a partnership with them, and 2 years ago we did, and we've slowly grown and expanded to the point where we now have...
So tell us how it works. Do I have to get an app?
She's in college. She has a big bag of dirty laundry.
Well, you know, pretty
She's going home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And she needs to make sure she has clean laundry in 2 days.
Yeah, I want to totally understand this.
How's it work?
Faster than 2 days.
Do I have an app?
Tomorrow.
So do I have an app?
Yes, you go to the App Store or Google Play, and you download the Laundry Chute. And right now we're only available to Pitt students, but we have plans that we can talk about.
Pitt student.
If you're a Pitt student, you put in your Pitt email, you create an account, and the first step is to find a locker that's near you, and the app will give you a code to open a locker that has bags in it. So you grab your first bag, you scan the code that's
on
the bag.
I'm sensing the automation already.
Yes.
I love this.
Okay, so you scan the bag.
You scan the bag, and it's now associated to you and your account. We actually have a patent on this process, which is pretty cool. And then whenever you're ready, you fill the bag up. You customize your bag, how you want it processed.
So I just say the whites you're going to separate.
Yeah, we do all that, you know, behind the scenes at our plant.
Oh, you do? I don't have to tell you that.
With our little genies or whatever you want to call them.
So I don't have to tell you, separate whites.
No, but you can tell us if you want fragrance-free detergent or if you want a delicate
wash. Can I say I want my underwear ironed?
We don't iron underwear quite yet, but that's something we could look to do if that floats your boat.
There's nothing like some pressed drawers to get you going in the day. That's all I can say. Yes.
Hey, noted.
My father liked that.
We'll see what we can do.
I want the creases in the front.
Yeah. So you get your pickup code or your drop-off code, and you go to that same locker bank or a different one, whatever's convenient for you.
Okay. So there's no ironing, I would imagine.
Not
it's
yet.
It's just folding.
It's just folding. But it comes out very clean. We do steam it if necessary. So things look almost like they've been ironed. They come out quickly. We take really good care of them in the dryer. We have big commercial dryers. So
so they're taken off-site to a facility where...
Okay, so then what? So then they get delivered back to that same location?
Or you can pick another one, wherever you are, whatever's most
convenient. Whoa, so you know on that Wednesday you're at a closer location, put that in.
So the app notifies you throughout the process. You can track it, and then you get to pick the location and the pickup window that fits your schedule that's most convenient. So
that is cool.
Our database, we can configure, you know, drop-off times, pickup windows. Everything's configurable on the fly.
So this is some serious automation, which is why you brought Build in Motion, to make this happen. Wow. So you had to map out the whole process with these guys, right?
Yeah, and that was a really... fun and interesting process because I think we've gone
through. Who knew laundry was so complicated?
We went through a lot of different iterations of how that process was actually going to work until we got into the final process, which I think is the optimal one. Until we find a better one, I think.
We finally hit the point where, at least from my perspective, I'm like, we got it now.
We got it now.
Last year we were close, but now we're there.
You're feeling dialed in, right?
Alan, I'm liking this. How many users do you have?
Plus or minus 300 to 350.
That's
varies.
Awesome.
We just went into a residence hall, Sutherland, on the top of campus that's open to the whole campus. So even if you're on lower campus, you could use Sutherland because it's an open lobby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then in December, we're installing at Towers, Litchfield Towers over break, which will cover all
sides. So you are taking over Pitt, man.
So I can also gift this, right?
Absolutely.
So let's say my roommate never does their laundry. I just say, you know what, I'm going to gift this. And
heck yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's great.
We take all forms of money.
Well, you take Bitcoin.
So can you get your laundry every day? Can you just do this every day?
Sure. You can grab 10 bags and do it at once. It's whatever floats your boat. It's a flat rate for the bag, so the bag is one size. Mm-hmm. It's meant to fit perfectly in the locker.
Wow,
we recommend
so you mean 20 pairs of jeans packed into it would be the same as sheets?
Yeah, so it's designed to fit anywhere from 18 to 25 pounds of laundry. Depends on how you fold it when you put it in there, if you just stuff it in.
Real tight.
Yeah, I mean, if it fits, it ships, and it'll go right in that locker perfectly. And it's the same rate whether you put a pair of socks in or you have a month's worth. If it fits, it ships. So we recommend people do it. It's meant for a weekly basis, sheets, towels, regular laundry. And, you know, we have a 90% retention rate. Our first wash for customers is $3. And then after that, it's $6 at Pitt.
$6.
So the
what if I don't go to Pitt? I just want you to do my laundry because this sounds like a really easy way to get my stuff.
Yeah, we can work something out.
Just go to Pitt. Stop by Pitt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to register for some classes on the way home. Okay.
Stop by Pitt. Yeah. Tell them you live there.
How about for alumni at least? I'm a Pitt alum. Come on.
Yeah, love it.
This is an alumni.
Well,
I drive through Oakland all the time. I can stop at Sutherland and drop my stuff off on the way home. Out of the other location.
I can tell you how many families who have kids that play hockey, how bad their stuff smells.
I played hockey. I know how much you smell.
So you know, right?
In fact, we have a special chemical that we use that's eco-friendly, and it's meant for sports, you know, moisture-wicking
attire. There's special stuff for that.
I'm going to tell teams about this that live in Upper St. Clair.
We love it.
I'm going to get them to come in and...
So when are you going to start scaling this thing? Because as Audrey says, she has ideas. And I know this is something... Laundry is a universal problem, right? It's not just college students. I'm seeing huge potential here.
Well, you know, it's like the funeral business, you know? Someone's always passing away. People always have laundry.
So I'm always spilling gravy on my shirt. So
nice
yes,
analogy.
We're recession proof. We're recession proof. That's the thing we like.
I know, right?
And for $6 for a load.
Do you have any investment?
Yeah, what's that?
Do you have any investment?
Personally?
Any investors?
Yes, we have a board. We started with a seed round about 4 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we've raised, give or take, about $1.5 million to date.
Are you looking to raise money?
We are. We're in the process of finalizing an A round now for $1 million, and this will be our last fundraise, we think, we hope.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, this is so cool because you have customers. So, you know, whatever you raise, you have income coming in as well.
Yeah, so now it's marketing
business.
That's what we're working on.
Right?
Nice. Having fun with some social media stuff.
Right.
With college students got a couple ambassadors.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, is there a certain point where it's like, I mean, having the back end, you know, having the actual people to take the laundry and clean it, I mean, you can grow that as big as you want, or is there a certain point where you're going to run out of people to make sure the laundry gets done?
I don't think so. I mean, we're the company for laundry lovers and laundry haters. If you like laundry and you don't mind it, you work for us.
Absolutely.
If you hate it, you use us.
Exactly. I love it. So where can people learn more about the company and the app? Obviously, your Pitt student can use it right now.
Right.
But I want to learn more about the company. Is there a website I can go to and check it out?
Yeah, laundryshoot.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @TheLaundryShoot. Gives you all the information you'll need. And, you know, when we do move to supporting non-college students in likely third-party locations, retail
for
locations,
sure.
Just like we are at Pitt, we'll definitely
make a big step. Alan, for Build in Motion, I have a crazy idea like doing dry cleaning of this. Can I come to you and help, and you can help develop an app for me?
Look at you riffing on someone else's idea.
Whoa.
I stole it from him before we went on air, so it's okay. It's okay, but I just wanted to let people know that Build in Motion is here to help people with these ideas actually make them work.
Yeah, and I think with Jimmy's product especially, it's been really fun because it's a great mix between software design, hardware. Now we're doing pin pads to open lockers, so it's a real fully fledged system.
For sure. And,
so we're working on all sides of it. So.
And where can they learn more about Build in Motion?
You can go to buildinmotion.com.
I love it, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us.
That's great.
This is why I love being in Pittsburgh. Two companies like this coming together to make clean, good
stuff
happen.
Look, a relocated guy.
I know. Exactly. I love
it.
I love
it. That's
great. What I love even more is Expedient for letting us hang out here tonight in their expanded data center here in Nova Place. Go to expedient.com. These guys are like the backbone of your business. There's no messing around. They can help you with all your IT challenges, and we just love bringing the show from here. Simple as that. So learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. This is John the Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Tech Council. Go have yourself an awesome weekend, and we will see you next weekend on the air.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.